It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Back from Alaska, as last week I mentioned, I was going to be on the out of communication with the world for a week, which is a wonderful thing. Only thanks to Starlink, you actually never get out of communication with the world anymore, which is, I guess, both good, but at the same time, you can't use the excuse I was out of connection. But let me tell you about Alaska. First of all, Southeast Alaska, and I've had the great pleasure of going all over Alaska over my life, but Southeast Alaska has become my favorite of all the places, and Southeast Alaska by small boat is probably one of the greatest trips anyone can make if you love the outdoors and love scenery. And so let me just this morning take you on a little bit of a ride, if you'd like, on what I saw, what my observations and thoughts, and what's going on in the really one of the great places of the earth, Southeast Alaska. So I guess the first thing to say is, boy, you feel small. The enormity of the landscape is simply stunning. And when you get on a small boat and you go by some of these cruise ships that are 1,000 feet long, more than 10 times longer than you are, 15 times, you feel very small. But once you leave the cruise ships and you leave Juneau, you really begin to realize that Alaska, Southeast Alaska, in and of itself is just enormous. And as you cruise around Admiralty Bay and you head off to Baranof Island, snow-capped peaks, 1 minute it's raining and blowing, the next 2 hours it's bright sunshine and no wind, and then it's raining and blowing again, and that's pretty much the life of Southeast Alaska, although I can say I was really fortunate to have some of the best weather I've ever had there. Many years ago, my daughter and I went sea kayaking for a week in Southeast Alaska, and we had, out of 6 days in a sea kayak, we had 4 days of sunshine and warmth. This past week, we had 3 days, 3 out of 8 days of sunshine and warmth, including the last two, which were incredible, which I'll get to in a moment. But Alaska is a country of many moods, and you better be careful. It's a dangerous place. The water can be 1,000 feet deep, and the next moment it can be 5 feet deep, depending on where the shoals are. It's not a place to take lightly, and while we did not have fog, you can have ground zero fog and not be able to see anything and only navigate by radar, which in and of itself is a scary proposition. Usually when that happens, you just stay at anchor and read a book. But one of the things that really strikes me is getting away from civilization. And when you're in Southeast Alaska, by and large, you don't have the experience you do out on the Kenai Peninsula or out in Bristol Bay, where there's just a constant hum of seaplanes and aircraft going overhead, taking you to fishing or glacier sightseeing. Once you get out of Juneau and you get out of the orbit of, let's say, the 10 mile radius, particularly to the east of Juneau going up into the glaciers, you've just left civilization behind. And as for the fishing, well, I don't really know a better place on earth to go fishing, whether it's for halibut or whether it's for rockfish, which are both, of course, down deep, or whether it's fly fishing for salmon. Southeast Alaska is truly extraordinary. And I say that in the context of having fished all over Bristol Bay, having fished in the Arctic and other places of Alaska. The difference is there really are not very many people fishing in Southeast Alaska. So you don't have the Chamber of Commerce effect that you do in King Salmon and Dillingham and Lake Iliamna and Kenai Peninsula, where you definitely feel like you're amongst people most of the time, the Kenai particular. And finding salmon streams in Alaska, Southeast Alaska, you just have to head to where the streams come into the bays, and particularly in the last 2 hours around low tide. And if they're full of fish, the fishing is going to be great. By no means is every stream in Southeast Alaska full of salmon. In fact, a lot of them don't have salmon at all. But in our case, having done this before, we were able to find lots of streams full of pink salmon, or humpies as they call them, dog salmon, chum. We also found Dolly Varden. There was one stream called Green Creek that we pulled into, and we fished for several hours, and almost every single cast, the Dolly Varden of anywhere from 8 to 16 inches was on the line or flashing and catching them with flies. Also had the experience, which doesn't happen very often, of catching some chum salmon and pinks on dry flies. The fishing was so good that I went to topwater dry flies, and it's a very different take. It's a slow take. You see the fish coming up, and unlike a trout, which is going to spin at it, or Dolly Varden, which is going to go fast, or a big bass, which is going to inhale it, it's sort of a slow slurp, and then you hang on because you've got a tremendous fight. What did surprise me was our ability to catch crabs in crab pots was really non-existent. We caught one crab in a week while crab potting. And that changes your diet, because we had certainly expected we would have crab for dinner, probably breakfast, lunch, and dinner, if you will, as that had been past experiences, but very few crabs. So we actually ate pink salmon, which a lot of people think are terrible eating, but they're not as good as a coho for sure, and they're definitely not as good as a sockeye, but they're food, and they're fresh food. And when anything comes out of the ocean fresh, it tastes much different than when it comes out of the ocean frozen. So the fishing was incredible. The bear viewing, if you're in Southeast Alaska, you're amongst bears. If you're on Admiralty Island, you have the largest bear population in all of Alaska, and that includes Brooks Falls. We were fishing amongst bears the entire time. Every time we went on shore and fished at the mouth of a stream, there were bear tracks. And the last day we were fishing on Green Creek, we actually encountered four sows and a cub in a couple of hours of fishing at the mouth of the river as the tide was dropping. The brown bears in Alaska, if you give them room, are unlike the grizzlies that we hear about so often in the West and have encountered. Brown bears in Alaska, or the great Alaskan bears as they are known, the Alaskan grizzly, but they call them a brown bear there, its diet is fish. So unless you surprise it, or God forbid you get between it and a cub, they're not paying a lot of attention to you. And so you can be, as we were, 25, 30 yards from a big Alaskan brown bear, and your heart, while you're paying attention, you do that with a grizzly bear in the Rockies, and you better have you better be able to hope that bear goes the other way, or you're in real trouble. In Alaska, they don't really pay attention to you. It's a totally different experience. Obviously, you don't have any food with you. That would be something you'd never do, but fishing with the bears is just part of the experience in Alaska, particularly when you're on a small boat as I was, and then you get into a little dinghy and you go to shore and you walk on the beaches. When I come back from the break, I'm going to tell you something about humpback whales, polar plunges, and South Sawyer Glacier, one of the most amazing places I've ever been. And I've had the good fortune to be in a lot of places. But when it comes to the Great Outdoor Show, South Sawyer Glacier is the very top of the list. I'll be back in just a moment, also talking a little about the king salmon situation and a few other thoughts before we leave Southeast Alaska for another year, maybe. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer, or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show, and welcome back to A Tale of Alaska. A week in the Southeast Alaska, Chatham Strait is spectacular. Then going up and having the pleasure of dropping my cell phone in 1,000 feet of water of course, unintentionally. Really took me off the radar. And then going in and swimming, literally swimming in the icebergs. But before I go there and recount that tale, let me just talk a little bit more about whales, humpback whales. You cannot go anywhere in Southeast Alaska without humpback whales. You can't do it. And it's really, really fun to see from a small boat the size of humpback whales. Now, you really don't want to see them from a dinghy, which we were in from time to time, but we were not in dinghies where the whales were. But having humpback whales breach within 50, 60 yards of you and swim with you for 15 or 20 minutes before they take their flute and head back down to the bottom for an extended period of time, it's an out-of-this-world experience. And you see them spouting all over. But to get close to them and actually be able to swim with them from the point of view of the boat just going along with them is, and we saw calves, small whales, we saw bigger whales. I don't know how many humpback whales we saw during the course of a week, but it really reminds you of some of the majesty of the absolute majesty of Alaska. So what's it like to swim? Well, actually you don't swim, but every morning from the stern of the boat, we took a polar plunge, and let me tell you, that will wake you up. The first day, the water was 58 degrees, and in South Sawyer, at Tracy's Arm, at the base of South Sawyer Glacier, when we jumped in, 42. And there's no cold shower you can take that's 42 degrees that I'm aware of. You hit the water, and literally your breath just leaves you. Your lungs empty out. And I, for one, couldn't step in off the boat. I had to down the ladder. I couldn't do that. I had to jump. And hitting that water is exhilarating. And yes, if you can last 45 seconds to a minute in 42 degree water, it's painful. And I can describe the feeling of being obviously within reach of the boat's ladder in 42 degree water. And I think I made it for, I don't think I made it for a minute, but I made it for darn close sitting there. And literally you could touch the icebergs that had broken off from the glacier floating by. So I had the polar plunge of all polar plunges. And I can tell you, I'm not anxious to jump off a boat tomorrow into maybe anything less than 85 degree water. 42 degree water really gets your attention, but when you're in the outdoors, I guess you do things like that. And when you're in Alaska, you, as they say, when doing Rome, when as the Romans, and in Alaska, you do polar plunges. And after doing it for 6 days in a row, each day the water getting colder as we rounded Admiralty Island and headed back up towards the glaciers. Funny enough, you kind of become accustomed to it. So not recommending it as a everyday routine, but for the week I was there, the daily polar plunge ending up in South Sawyer Glacier, literally at the mouth, at where the glacier, 100 yards away from the glacier, was calving, swimming in the icebergs. I can't say I was swimming, dog paddling for 50 seconds and getting out, an experience of a lifetime. And in speaking of the glaciers, before I sign off on Alaska, I have to say, we really don't realize we're only here for a blip of time. And if you go back millenniums, like a million years, of course, Alaska was the Garden of Eden, a rainforest. And then we had the Ice Age of all ice ages, which carved out, you know, all of North America, at least down till you got to the south. And then we began the Great Thaw. And then we had the Mini Ice Age, which people like to say was from 1200 to 1800. So put this in thought. When I went to Mendenhall Glacier, which is the most visited glacier, I believe, in the world, just outside of Juneau, in 1900, the glacier went all the way, almost all the way to Chatham Strait, which is, Gastineau Channel, which is what comes through Juneau. Today, it is miles from that, and a lake has formed, and Mendenhall Glacier, I hadn't been there in about 12 years, has retreated maybe another 50 or 60 yards. Hard to know. Don't know exactly. But the point is, this glacier has been going back and forth for a long time. And 125 years ago, it was miles, several miles, maybe 2 miles from where it is now. But 200 and 300 years ago, it was even further out. And a million years ago, it didn't exist. So it reminds you, we are just here for a very small blip of time. And as I stood there at Mendenhall Glacier, you could say, oh, I hope it doesn't shrink anymore. And at the same time, you could say, if I was here 100 years ago, I would be under 200 feet of ice where I was standing. And if I was here a million years ago, I'd be in a tropical rainforest. We just are here on the face of the earth for such a short period of time, while nature is forever changing. And as I sign off from Alaska, I can simply say it truly is America's last great best place. And once you get away from the planes and the helicopters and the cruise ships of Juneau, Southeast Alaska is a paradise, and you get crystal clear air. You realize your lungs can fill with that air, and it just smells different, and it tastes different, and it feels different. And a couple more experiences we had. There are secluded hot springs in and around Southeast Alaska. And if you're willing to make the hike, or you're willing to be a little bit close with bears, you can go from the depths of cold 42-degree water to the feeling of hot springs and Baranof Hot Springs, which is one of the best known. Certainly there's a path to it, is one of the most fabulous ones. And to sit in there on a crystal clear, beautiful day after having had a polar plunge, the whole experience of Alaska, the pristine beauty, the whole feeling, it's hard to describe. And then to also experience hikes, yes, you're careful of bears, but I have to say I've been to Alaska a number of times. I've been from the Arctic, I've been out on the Aleutian, I've been out to Bristol Bay, Kenai, in Southeast Alaska now several times. And of all of Alaska and all the great wilderness, the mountains and the water and the fish and the bears and the whole experience of Southeast Alaska, I think, trumps it all. So for those of you listening, you can get on a big cruise ship and you can go see Southeast Alaska. You can get on a plane and you can fly to Juneau and you can do tours out of Juneau, or you can do what I did, and that's get on a very small boat and spend a week in the wilderness floating around, just taking in one of the greatest places on earth. Those are the kind of things occasionally I like to talk about on the Great Outdoor Show, experiences we don't have every day. And thank you for listening. And hopefully, if you haven't been to Alaska, you'll have the opportunity to go. And if you've been, you know some of what I'm talking about, and you'll want to go back. Thanks so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.